Well, hey, Graham here. Welcome to all the friends and partners of Graham Jones Ministries. Graham here. I'm going to just do a quick update, trying to do these every day now. And we're putting this out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, but also as an audio podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, I listen to podcasts every day. We have it on all the major podcast platforms as well. iTunes, we have a program now on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify. We are now on all of those things. So check out some of the links below or on my website, gjm.org. Hey, if you are on YouTube, want to hit the subscribe button down there and give this video a thumbs up. Good. How's it going, guys? Well, today is Wednesday, and I am working from home in the morning, going to be in my office in the afternoon. And I'm actually working today on setting up a bunch of events for the next 3 or 4 months. Really felt in the summer the Lord told me to take the church on the road and to do what in the old days, anyway, we would have called gospel crusades, healing gospel crusades. Maybe that's a bit of an old-fashioned word. I'm old-fashioned, but I'm going to be calling these Jesus 2020, at least for 2020, but having events where we bring worship and we preach the gospel and we pray for the sick in public all over New England. We've now done 4 of these. And, you know, at every single event, we've seen God move in power. People turn to Jesus and a relationship started. So somebody healed the other day. So, yeah. Hey, if you're living in New England and you're interested in sponsoring one of these events. We don't need money. We just need a place, an invitation and a place to come. And we will bring a team and win some folks to Jesus for your church. If you're in an area where there is no Spirit-filled church, why not talk to us? We have a team and we're interested in planting churches all over New England. Good. What's going on today? Hey, I have a new video and audio series coming out later today. Some of the things I've been speaking on in my churches about new foundations and having good foundations in our Christian walk. So check out that series again on podcast or video. It should be out late afternoon today. I'm also working on rebooting or moving to a different platform, my ministry school. So we have an online ministry school we ran last year. And at the end of it, we ordained several people into the ministry of Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in signing up for our 2020-2021 session, the cost is really low. And, you know, we run through the whole Bible, about 50 different ministry skill topics. And you can also get ordained going out of that. Let me just mention as well, for those in the New England area, we have a team now, and I actually want to begin to open some doors and promote things for those we've ordained. So if you're interested in having a speaker come to your church, contact me and let me know, and we'll try and hook you up with the right person there. Good. Well, what am I thinking today? Let me drop a quick truth bomb on you today. I was thinking today one of my favorite passages of scripture. What's your favorite passage of scripture? One of mine is 1 Corinthians 2. I think I can just quote the whole thing without even looking, literally. I preached on it that many times. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 9, Paul quotes Isaiah. And he says, "Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And it always makes me think that verse of the church I grew up in, because it seemed every week somebody would stand up and quote that verse, "Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And yet they'd always pray or prophesy in the sense that one day when we die or when Jesus returns, then we'll see the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We always pushed it off into an after death or after return of Jesus or a millennial experience. And that's not what Paul's talking about or Isaiah's talking about, because Paul carries on in the very next verse and he says, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit." He's saying the natural man hasn't received the things God has prepared for them, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The next verse, Paul carries on and says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the foolishness unto him, neither can he understand them, because they're spiritually discerned." And just for the sake of time today, check it out, but in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 2, Paul asks a question. Again, he quotes Isaiah's question. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Question mark. And then the next verse, 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, but we have, not going to have, he says, we have the mind of Christ. And I want to ask you real quick today, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Wow. I'm not sure I know, but I think at a base level, to have the mind of Christ means to think like God thinks. Do you know, I believe God wants us to think like him. How can we do the works of God if we don't think like him? And I've been on a journey recently, and I just throw it out to you. It's a great prayer to pray. You know, the disciples once came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. I've been praying recently and saying, Lord, teach me to think. Teach me to think. Teach me to think as you think. You know, in the natural, we used to train children to think. You know, part of a classical education used to be that people would be confronted with different points of view. The original English word for college, we say here in America, is university. And it comes from two words, unity around diversity, uni-versity, varsity. And that we would find truth by looking at different points of view. And my point is, we would want to train younger people as they grow to think, to analyze. But as we grow up into him in all things, to the stature of the fullness of the measure of Christ, I believe God wants to teach us how to think like he thinks, to see things as he sees them. How does God think? You know, I think God thinks in everything he can do. God, whenever he looks at anything, he thinks, I can do that. I can do that. I know the answer to that. Heaven is a possibility place. And how do we step into the mind of the Lord? Let me give you four quick keys just for your day today. Number one is, it's actually realizing that we don't see like God, that we often see like the world. Now, I know we're born again. We're full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But so often we see like the world sees. We're looking at problems. I was talking with a friend yesterday about some of the racial tensions and issues and discussions, or frankly, lack of discussions here in America. And, you know, it just came to me, the problem with the church right now is the church is echoing what it's seeing on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or in colleges or all of these things. And we should be saying, Lord, how do you see this? How do you see this? God watches both movies, not just one. And what movie is heaven playing? And I think there's this place, number one, of realizing what we don't see. So often there are things going on. God sees differently than we do. And I think if we actually have that starting point that says, if we start thinking we're seeing everything, we have these blockages within us that will inhibit God showing us new things. So number one, I think we should be saying, Lord, I don't see as I want to. Do you remember the guy who came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I see, but I see like trees walking. I think you and I are often like that. I actually think the body of Christ is often like that, where we really do see, but I think compared with where God wants to take the church, we're only seeing like trees walking. And I think to own that, number one, is a powerful thing. Number two, we need to learn to repent. And I think Jesus said, unless a man repent, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there's something about repentance that opens our eyes. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved, the hymn says. Sin blinds us. And I think repentance isn't about us. Repentance has very little to do with an emotional response to our sin. We classically think of repentance as this, oh God, I'm so terrible, and what a mess I am. And that, if you are, that's okay. But repentance is really, it's a U-turn, but it's actually a U-turn in our mind. The Bible says, put off the old man with all of his works, his evil. And then it says, put on the new man, created after God in righteousness and true holiness, by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. So I think repentance is rethinking, it's realigning, it's relearning. It's saying, Lord, I'm willing to have you reformat my disc. I'm willing to have you to have heaven's operating system installed on my life. Lord, I turn from one way of thinking to your way of thinking. Third key, You know, there's a great verse in the book of Revelation that I love. And at the very beginning of Revelation, John, the beloved, he's on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he says, I looked to see. I want you to just think about that for a quick minute today. He says, I looked to see. You know, John had the greatest revelation, the greatest, but a great revelation anyway, really great. We've got a whole book of it. We're still trying to figure out a really great revelation he went through. But it began with him saying, I looked, literally saying, I looked with the intention of seeing. I looked, my goal was to see. I love it. You see that so often in the life of Jesus. Do you remember when he fed the 5,000? He's got 5,000 hungry men and their wives and kids. He's got 12 unbelieving disciples. He's got a little boy with a loaf and two fish. And he takes the five loaves and two fish. And it says he broke them and he looked up. Literally, he looked up. What did he look at? It's interesting. The word look up in the Greek, what's the Greek word? Anaplebo. It's the same word that's used every time a blind person receives sight. So Jesus looked up, anaplebo. Blind Bartimaeus received sight, same Greek word, anaplebo. It's like Jesus, he's confronted by need and unbelief and impossibility. What does he do? He receives sight. And I think so often when we're in that position where we don't know what to do, it's such a key to look up. Years ago, in the late 80s, I was in a situation in the UK. I was doing itinerant ministry in the UK, and I went to a church in Southampton on the south coast of England. I had about a six-hour drive home, and I was kind of counting on them giving me some kind of offering. No, I think they gave me like 50 cents or something. So here's my point. I actually ran out of petrol, ran out of gas driving home. And I remember being in my vehicle for nearly 2 hours, looking for money under the seat, ripping things apart, trying to figure out how can I get home? How can I get gas? How do I not get towed off the side of the road and a fine and all of this thing? And then suddenly it's like it came to me, ask heaven. And I remember, I don't think I looked up, but inside in the eyes of my heart, the eyes of my understanding, I looked up and I said, Lord, help. And straight away, God said to me something really weird. I'm there at the side of the highway begging, like Bartimaeus, with a car with no petrol, no gas in it. And the Lord said to me, start the engine and drive home. It's a really, I hope you can grasp it. This is worth parking on. When God says something to you, he gives you the faith to do it. When we speak, you're getting information from me right now, but it's information, it's words through technology. When God speaks, the word is a vehicle for the Spirit of God. When God speaks, he imparts into you the faith to do the thing he says. Show me that in the Bible. I'm glad you asked. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the ramas of God. Romans 10:17. So literally, God said to me, start the engine and drive home. And without thinking, I started my engine. It started and I drove 4 or 5 hours with an empty tank of gas. True story. So God's word empowers. My point is, learn to look to see, look up. Yeah, if we want to see as God sees, look up. And my fourth key is sometimes we look and we see and God tells us something. The fourth key is this, gaze and realign. We should be like Mary who got a word from God. The Bible says she took her word to Starbucks. I'm kidding, but she pondered the prophetic word she got. She got these words from the angel, from Zechariah, from Elizabeth, from the shepherd, you know, and she stored them up in her heart and pondered them. She, if you will, she gazed upon the word of God and let it sink from her head to her heart, because a renewed mind with a hard heart is not going to cut it. And we've actually got to let how God show us something and us realign how we think through what God shows us, and then that sink into our hearts and change us. Boom. So four quick keys there to have the mind of Christ. Guys, I hope you are, again, having a really great day wherever you're at. Again, I want to say thanks to all my partners. I have the best Holy Ghost intercessory team in the world. I really believe that. And I have some amazing people who stood with Leah and I for years. They've been part of our support base, our friendship base, our prayer base. And I just want to say thank you for especially in 2020. 2020 has been a really weird year. I've had to close down, like many other people in ministry, probably around about a third of what I do in terms of ministry, in terms of traveling. And you guys have been awesome. I just want to give you a shout out and say thank you for that. Boom. Hey, if you're in Sturbridge this evening, my friend Dusty is speaking at our Wednesday evening service. And I know we're going to have worship and worship and the word and ministry there. I'll be speaking this coming Sunday in Sturbridge on finding the will of God for your life. And again, later this afternoon, a new teaching series on foundations. So wishing you guys a really great day. Drop me a line, share this on whatever social media platforms you're off here. Help me get God's word into people's lives. Thanks, guys. Love you, and bye for now.